Motorcycle Man.
Yeah, we can go. You know, just know. I've already hit the record button, so this is all part of the whole thing.
All right.
Hello, boys and girls, and welcome to the Motorcycle Man podcast. This is episode, brace yourself, 469. Wow. Yeah, we're here in the V-Twin Cafe, as always, in sunny downtown Cranford, New Jersey, but we're really not. We are, kind of, sort of, maybe, something. And I am Ted, your host, as always. And also, as we always have, here in the corner booth, we got Tim Buck 2 joining us. And Chris is going to be here shortly, momentarily. He will be here. Of course, we got Justin Brown, as always.
Shut the fuck up!
and joining us for a long... This has been a long time, Dave. But we got our good friend from Tobacco Motorwear, Dave Ackerman's joining us today.
Dave.
Yeah. So we're giving Dave the cha-ching sound for his sound. Right?
Cha-ching.
There we go.
You know, I could give him the squeaky toy.
I think you should give him a zipper to zip up your pants.
Yeah.
Dave's pants.
I don't have a zipper sound. I'm gonna have to get a zipper sound for Dave. That's all right. Hey, Dave, how you doing, bro?
Dude, I'm doing good. You know, it never rains, but it pours, man.
We're going to get into that real quick.
Yeah.
Oh, man. But how's everybody else been doing? Everybody doing? Tim's doing good.
All good.
Justin's well, right?
We're getting there, yeah.
Yeah, good. Everybody riding? I know, Dave, you're riding.
Yep.
Damn. And I'm
you only can ride one at a time, Dave. Can't keep buying them and then
ride. No. Well, yeah, we're gonna talk about. See,
he's gonna keep one at work and ride a different one back and forth, and he's never gonna ride the same.
Well,
one.
Yeah.
We all have the same disease. I know. It's just mine's like rapid onset. Sorry.
Well, before we get into that, let me break down some things. Let me break down some of the things that's been going on. I had an interview with Jerry McClanahan, author of the Easy 66 Guide for Travelers. So if you're looking to do some traveling on Route 66, Jerry created this guide, and he's now on the 6th edition. It details every aspect of Route 66 from beginning to end. No matter which direction you're going to travel it or how much of you travel it, the Route 66 Easy Guide for Travelers for Route 66 is awesome, and that's available. So anyway, I interviewed him, and coming up next week, I have an interview I did with the cast from Susie the Cycle Witch. It's a rock opera, and they have their videos are on YouTube right now. But I had an interview with the cast and crew of that, so that's going to be up next week for you to listen to. That'd be great. Aside from that, we'll do the usual Bendit stuff later, but right now, so Dave and I have been having frequent conversations lately, and it all started with a text that I got from Dave about 3 weeks ago, you think, maybe? And the text simply said,
probably about a month ago.
Yeah, maybe, the text simply said, what do you think of Softails? And from there, it cascaded. Dave, why don't you expand on that?
Yeah, man. That's a loaded question. I think you spotted it immediately. Yeah. As like, this guy's in the market. Because I had been, I've been riding my two bikes for a while, and had just been feeling like I needed something fresh to kind of make sure to, you know, that I was getting out. I'm a dad, you know. A lot of people probably, if they hear me talk on your podcast, they'd be like, how can he be allowed around children? But I actually have five kids. And
well, by the way, you got to stop, man. You're done.
You're done.
The motorcycles?
No, kids? Kids. You're done.
One each.
One each.
So anyway, it's funny, dude. The parallels are actually staggering. But yeah, man, I was looking at everybody was talking and is always talking about Dynas. And I had been looking for a long time at Dynas, and I'd been telling different guys and different friends that I need to find a new bike to get excited about. And just in kind of the random course of conversations with different friends of mine, a friend sent me a picture of his friend's garage. He's in Pasadena, MC, which is like, I want to say the second or third oldest motorcycle club, AMA motorcycle club, that's still going.
Wow.
And he sent me the garage pic of his friend's stable, basically, and it was all Springers.
Nice.
Yeah. Wow.
Springer front end. And every motorcycle show I go to or have been to or anybody's been to, you know, there's a lot of really cool bikes that use that Springer front end. Well, I'm not a Harley historian, but I had always thought that that was off of, you know, 1930s or 40s Harley. They were hard to come by and you couldn't get those. Yeah. And then, like, last year I shot with somebody who had one, and I'm like, dude, so did you build this? And he's, no, this is a factory bike. Where did you get a hold of this? This is, no, wait a minute. And then I see this picture of all the Springers, and I just go, man, I think I want to look at Springers. And so I started searching on Facebook Marketplace, and Springers I did find, Ted.
Yeah.
And so, I honed in on a bike, and, you know, and I learned more about it, and I learned about Harley kind of in the 80s bringing back this analog Springer mechanical technology, and pairing it on the Softail chassis. And, you know, who do I know that can give me a take on riding a Softail? And that's when I texted you, and the shenanigans ensued shortly after.
Shenanigans indeed. Yeah. Dave proceeded to send me pictures of bikes left and right.
Yeah.
Springer, yeah. This, Springer that, different Softails. Yeah. Because right now you have a Sportster. And
I have a Roadster, right? All my bikes are old. 2007. And then I have the record-breaking flag-pulling bike from when we pulled the biggest flag ever pulled behind a motorcycle.
Right.
And that's a Road King. And so I had, like, the big bike, and I had, and not the biggest bike, but the Road King, and I had the little bike in the Sportster 1200. And, like I said, I've ridden them for a while and probably owed them more maintenance than they've gotten over the years and stuff like that, but it was just like the shine had kind of quite literally come off of them a little bit.
Yeah.
And, you know, there's some maintenance that I need to do, but you hate to tear into your daily.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah,
right?
No.
Right.
Yeah, you don't want to be bikeless.
You don't want to be bikeless. And so I was like, what do I do here? And then and that sent me on the search. And then the search led me to the Harley Crossbones. So, you know, to not get too much into the history of every Springer and just barf it all out. In the 90s, Harley released a little-known blacked-out Springer called the Bad Boy. And it didn't do very well. And I actually, in the course of my search, found, like, oldmotorcycle.com posts and reviews of, like, the Bad Boy when it was new. And all the comments, just, like, not a... no chrome on it, come on, you know, and just it was so making fun of this blacked out custom Softail, right? And
right.
And it's all and the Springer front end, and it just didn't hit. And and I feel like they kind of turned a corner on it, and they just did other springers on the soft tail, and then at the very end of the run of these more modern springers, they rolled out with the crossbones, which is kind of like they did the Night Train, the Night Stir, the crossbones, and maybe one other dark custom line kind of thing. And
that was like 2016, 2017, wasn't it?
No. They rolled it out in 2008. And that's when they rolled out the crossbones, and they may have rolled out the other ones.
I think they went to like 2012.
Oh, see, I thought they went further than that.
No, so they went till 2011. And so, and it was kind of on the tail end of the big fat tire custom scene, and you know, and when I got it, I felt like, you know, to some people at the time, I think it was just kind of like, what is this bike? It's very different. And kind of, it has like pinstriping on it, kind of, you know, it's, and it's got a Springer seat, like a tractor seat. It's just a different bike. And that's, you know, I showed it to a buddy. Hey, what do you think of this? And he goes, that's a Dave bike for sure. Like all my bikes, red rims and green army paint. And just, you know, it's like, you can't just buy a black bike.
According to this, the last year they ran the Springer was in 2009. They ran it from 88 to 2009.
You know, look up crossbones, because I did my research. They did.
they definitely. Yeah, I was thinking that they ran it till 2012, but if it was 2008,
you're close. 2008 to 2011.
And they did. I think they did a CVO.
Yep.
In that might have come out in 2012, or was that 2011 too?
No, it says others suggested there was a brief crossover into 2012.
Yeah.
So, okay. Yeah, and they used the Twin Cam 96.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. So. And so, you know, for me, obviously, like, you love your new bike, and so I learned everything I could about it, jumped into it, and what people love about this bike, if you're in the market, listener, what people love about this bike is you get the Springer and the tractor seat and this cool old school custom styling, but you still get that 96 cubic inch. It's a 6-speed. And so
that's cool.
You get some of that. You get to ride a more modern, it's injected. So you get to ride a more modern bike without some of the maintenance kind of
reliability.
Exactly. Yeah. And so, you know, there's a little community around these Springers, and specifically the crossbones. And the problem is, I mean, call it a problem, is so I get the crossbones and I drive, it's in Reno, and I got you know how the bike chooses you sometimes?
Yeah.
Felt like there's a guy out, not even in Reno, but out there in Nevada, and it's just like, he's not going to find a buyer. He's not going to find a buyer in Reno. And I messaged him, and he's like, yeah, people have asked about it and said they'd come and get it, but then they just don't. And so I go, well, listen, I know the guys at Reno Harley. Take it down there and have them look at it and call me. And so the seller took it down there, and my buddies who runs the sales floor had his mechanics look at it. And they go, yeah, this is a clean bike, you know, very little to do on it. And, you know, come grab it. So I wired the guy some money and bought the bike sight unseen.
Wow.
And then drove out a week or so later and did like the whole trip in one day, just 8 hours there, picked it up, was in Reno for less than an hour, which some people would say is too long. I don't know.
Wait a minute. So wait, did you drove out and then trailered it back?
I drove out. They helped me load it into the back of a truck, and then I drove back in the back of the truck with it in the back of the truck.
Oh, well, why wouldn't you get, you know, somebody drive you out there and then ride it back?
I don't have any friends, Ben.
Come on. You're Dave Ackerman, tobacco motorware.
He's the Dave Ackerman.
Dave Ackerman. You know you have friends. You could.
Because I do it the Dave way, Ted. I do it the Dave way. I could go out there with my, everything I own is old. So I'm getting 13 miles to the gallon. Gas is through the roof. And I'm like, okay, I think I can roll this up real nice. And so I rent a truck. And I'm like, I only want this rental for one day. So I slammed it out.
Oh, jeez.
I hit some monster. They sponsor us. Thanks, Monster. And I slammed it out in one day, dude. And I was loopy by the end. I was tired.
I can imagine,
sure.
How long of a drive is that?
It's 16 hours. 16 hours just on the road.
Wow.
So I left at 9 a.m. from the dealership.
Right.
And, or from the rental place, from Enterprise. And got there, I want to say at 5. And then I got home at 3 a.m. or something like that. Because I had to stop, man, eventually to.
That's got to be 450, 500 miles each way, something like that.
Yeah, mileage was included in the rental, bud.
Damn, dude.
Yeah. So I just was like, I know I'm going to, you know, I know I just got. Now, I would have liked that. I should have tried to find somebody, but I didn't want it, you know, I get it on a Tuesday, and I didn't want to leave it and impose on my friends down at the dealership.
Yeah.
For that long, and I was excited to get it. And so I bring it home, I get it down, I start riding it, and I think I hit that. We've been talking a lot, and I really like the ride. Like, the ride quality's really good.
I told you this Softail wouldn't treat you good, man, right?
Yeah, and you were right about that. And the Softail, I mean, I think to all the people, and, you know, there's a lot of good rear suspended bikes and stuff, but there's a reason why, you know, Harley stuck with the Softail platform over the Dyna platform when they decided to come out with the, you know, the Lowrider ST and stuff like that. It's a really good platform, and I didn't ever know anything about it until you started telling me about it and started looking into it more, and I go, you know, this is, it's just a really good bike for my kind of riding. I'm not probably at my age going to learn to do wheelies through parking lots and stuff like that. Maybe.
Hope not.
You know, but I just thought it looked so cool. But the problem was, anytime I got on Facebook, I'm getting notifications that there's another sad, lonely Springer out there looking for a home. My bleeding heart just.
So you did text me and just say, I think your exact words were, I have a problem.
Yeah.
I'm like, what did you do?
Yeah, and that's what you said. What are you doing?
Yeah, and he started
saying, you the clenched teeth emoji.
Yeah. And you start sending me all these pictures of all these bikes. Yeah. Your exact words, I'm in big trouble.
Yeah. It was kind of secret. You were the first to know. So I in this window of time between buying, I think I had bought but not picked up the Crossbones when I went to Daytona.
Yeah.
And so I'm in Daytona, and so it's a new territory old Facebook Marketplace.
I mean, you see where this is going, right?
Yeah. So the same parameters, you know. So Springer's, just I'm in the hotel room, and I had rented a bike, and when I got there, the guy had said it had a sissy bar, and I was picking it up from the airport, and the sissy bar was not on the bike. Nor do I think it. He's like, oh yeah, I think we're talking about my other one, because it was like an iron 883 that he'd chopped down, and I was like, well, I have luggage. There's nowhere to put it. How am I getting? So I didn't have a bike for Daytona. I had planned on having a bike, and now I didn't have a bike. I was like, well, should I just buy a bike? And
well, before you go any further, hello, Chris.
Hey.
Hello, what up?
Say hello to Dave.
Hi, Chris.
Hi, Dave. How you doing?
Well, I'm doing all right, man. I'm a proud new father of many motorcycles.
Oh, wow. Congratulations.
Yeah.
Were they C-sections?
Yeah.
How's your vagina after all that birth?
That's why they say go for a rip, dude. I don't know.
All right, so now did you buy, because you said you had other bikes on you had them in your viewpoint. You're gonna looking at those, and you sent me the pictures of all three of them. And did you purchase any of? Because they're Dynas. All three of them were Dynas.
And yeah, all three of them were Softail Springers.
Oh, they were Springers. Oh, okay. I thought you were looking at the coming on the Dyna boy.
Oh, I always loved the Springers.
Right. Always. I had sent you some Dynas, and I think I started talking to you about Dynas, and I think technically I may need a Dyna. But that's a technicality. But like, what wound up happening is like, I saw this Springer in Daytona, and I was like, that is so cool. It has this really cool kind of psychedelic paint job. I think it's like a 94, and kind of stock lines and everything. And I was like, that's so cool. But I left Daytona, and, you know, I wasn't going to really see it. And then I get back to Utah, and I found one in Oregon. I'm casting this wide net to just look at all the Springers.
You can see the sickness is just all over you.
Right, right. This is a tragic story. And so there's this guy in Oregon who's got like 88, which is the first year of the modern Springer. And he's got it. It's like low miles, 7,000 miles, well-maintained. And he's kind of trying to flip it, and I talked to him, and again, if I didn't know the guys at Reno Harley, it probably wouldn't have worked out. So I took that as a sign of, I'm going to get that bike. And then this guy is up there, and I'm like, well, I'm going to the one show in Portland. If you'll bring it to Portland, put it in my booth for the one show, we'll do a deal. And he's like, F it, yeah, okay. So he's like in Eugene or something. So he's going to bring it up. And so I commit on that. So now I have two. But actually, this is still before I picked up the Crossbones. And I think it was just that itch of like, dang it, I want it, that didn't let me leave the buying stage. Because I saw a bike in like the Sacramento area. And my wife's like, hey, my father, that's where she's from. She's like, hey, my dad's coming out. And I'm like, really?
Oh,
and
I'm so dad.
My father-in-law, and I'm like, hey, you coming out next week? He's like, yeah. I'm like, you bringing your truck? Or he's like, I might rent a car or bring a truck. And I'm like, well, hey, could I pitch in for gas and have you bring out this motorcycle? And he's like, yeah, let's do it. And so this guy had built this 89 Springer, had kind of bobbed it out and you know, turned it into a really cool stripped down bobber. And it's the most modified of any of the bikes. And so he takes it to my father-in-law. My father-in-law is coming, doing that same drive, coming across Nevada. And he's a couple hours out. And I just think to myself, like, you know, he's going to show up and he's going to be a witness to this conversation. You bought another motorcycle? Yeah, you know, from my wife. And just, and I'm going to be like, yeah, I bought another motorcycle. And my father-in-law is going to be like, you had me pick up a motorcycle and bring it across, you know, from California without talking to your wife about it. So, like, 2 hours before he shows up to the house, I go, hey, I got to tell you something. I bought another motorcycle. And then I started selling her on the idea of multiple motorcycles. So, I'm like, I kept saying, I didn't say, like, you know, I don't think I said I bought another motorcycle. I just said, look, I think having multiple motorcycles is a good idea for these reasons, because I don't think she knows that the other two are on the way. But
well, she's going to find out.
Yeah. So while we are talking, I got a text from the Daytona. They shipped it, and I got a text from the shipping company with a timeline on, to tell you, I don't know, with some timeline about delivering it tomorrow.
Oh, jeez.
To your warehouse or to your home?
To the warehouse, of course.
Yeah.
Out of sight, out of mind, right?
Well, yeah, I mean, keep it, so yeah, 9 to 11 tomorrow. Yep. And is that okay? Okay. Yeah, dude, I think these are just really cool bikes, and in looking into them, you know, they're not making Springers anymore.
No.
Because of ABS braking and it not really being able to mount up to a Springer fork system, like, there's no indication that they'll be bringing Springers back. So there was part of me going, you know, these are what maybe, you know, some of the early model Springers or some of the more collectible bikes would have been. And everybody, these are all Evo engines. And the Evo 2 is like, you know, if you look at the time frame, like, shovelheads are popular, but, like, you know, people love that Evo engine, and I feel like it's gonna be a collectible engine, and so I just, you know, this is how I justify it to myself. No, it's fine.
It'll be okay.
That'll be all right.
It's my understanding that when they decided to stop making the last Springer, because the mold that they used for those Springers was the original mold.
Yeah.
So those Springers are based on those earlier 30s, 40s type Springers. And it's my understanding that when they stopped making them, that they actually destroyed the mold. So they can't even make that original. I mean, obviously, they have enough to do it. But my point is they basically got rid of that.
So when you say they destroyed the mold for what?
The cast. Yeah. Or the, so it's...
For the Springer front end.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. And I don't know. I've heard that they sold the tooling. I'm not sure, but I think due to regulations and just safety expectations... Because, like, I'll tell you, like, I'm using the rear brake way more than I ever have.
Yeah.
And the front brake, for whatever reason, just the ride, I don't even want to say it takes getting used to. There are pros and cons with how you ride the thing. But one of the things you have to do is rear brake a lot more.
Well, the thing that everybody's used to is that in a telescoping front end, which is like your traditional front end, is it has springs in it, but the springing action is slowed down or restricted, cushioned, however you want to put it, by the fluid that's in there. So the thicker the fluid is, the less bounce you get, or continuous bounce that you get. It's not going to compress as hard. It's not going to spring back as hard. It's not going to continue to bounce because it's got to move through that fluid. Whereas on a Springer front end, you basically just have
spring
and whatever's causing that.
There's a little.
You got springs and linkage. That's pretty much does the work.
Yeah, there's a little dampener on the front of the Harley patented spring, which one of the bikes, it's a Springer, but somebody had taken the Harley Springer off, that modified one, and then the guy bought like a lowbrow custom Springer front end that doesn't have the dampener on it. So I get to feel the difference between the Harley dampened action, which is softer than the lowbrow, which has no little dampener cylinder. I don't know what you'd call it on the front. I don't like me doing that motion. I can't see it happening. But it is. There's a few differences. Like, you don't really get, when you brake with a hydraulic front suspension, if you brake, you get a forward rocking kind of, you can really compress the front spring just from braking. And you don't get that as much with the Springer front end. And it actually gives it a little bit of there's a little bit of a confidence. So some people say it's a heavy front end. And, you know, I've been riding Road Kings. So, like, I don't know if I'm feeling any different. So, yeah, this front end is unwieldy. I don't know. It's fine. But I do feel like I don't feel like, whoa, I'm going somewhere as I go into a corner on the crossbones. It just feels like I'm maintaining. You don't feel like that vertigo of like, okay, I'm
like it's not dive bombing on you.
Yeah. Which is just a matter of like just getting used to that. But there is a little bit of a confident, I think it's a pretty good ride actually. And then, you know, it's got the rear suspension, and then the crossbones has the spring tractor seat, and so it's just a pretty nice little ride, dude. But it's been a fun foray into buying bikes unseen, because I bought four of them unseen. So and you just gotta like.
All right, so wait a minute. So how many Springers do you have now?
Four.
You got four Springers now.
Four Springers, and then I still have the Sporty and the Road King that are all of them are running, and I just took the, so I have two Springers that have showed up, right, including the one I went and got.
Yeah.
And I just took to Cooney's Customs here in Salt Lake area. I just took the other Springer over because everything's being bought near sea level. And then we're riding up in the mountains, and so these carburetors all need to get kind of tuned.
Yeah.
So now I'm in that process, and I don't know, man. Like some nights I wake up and worry that I'm gonna really regret this, and then some nights I wake up and I'm back on Facebook Marketplace looking at Springer.
So what's your next bike?
He's gonna go dyno, I guarantee you.
I thought he was going to go soft tail.
Well, there is this, I don't know, you, like I say, Dave bikes. So I don't know what got into me, but Springers and anything with flames. So, like, I'm seeing all these old Dynas, soft tails, with these beautiful, like, the old school flames.
Yeah.
That were like three tone, starting with yellow and fade out to purple. And so I'm seeing these bikes and I'm like, how is that staying up so long? But in the world we're living in, you know, the buyer for, like, I think everybody sees a cool paint job and goes, oh, that's, it's kind of like a Springer, where it's like, oh, that's definitely cool. I don't know if I could ride it to bike, right? But like I already established, I don't have any friends to impress. So I just, so there's a pretty raked out chopper that I was looking at. And
oh, God.
I don't know, dude. If I get it, you'll be the first.
You know what? I know it, Chris. You know what? I know what he needs, Chris. You think you, and you might agree. He needs a sugar bear.
Oh yes,
he needs a sugar bear.
Oh yeah, I get a sugar bear.
What's a sugar bear?
Oh shit!
You've never heard of sugar bear?
Oh,
I think I have, but only in very, like, very much in passing.
Show him the sugar bear, Ted. Come on.
Oh, he needs a sugar bear. I know that for damn sure now.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. All right, here we go. Let me share the screen. No one.
Is this like a Harley sugar bear?
Well, it's
well, sugar bear was a builder too.
Yeah.
Like
with Indian Larry. Hey. Yeah.
That's a sugar bear front end.
Right.
And he lives and he lives literally about 5 miles from Sturgis. And that's where his shop is. And one of our good friends of the podcast, Larry Marshall, he's good friends with him. In fact, we got to hook you up.
Maybe. This one that I've been looking at, there's no flames on it, though. You got to find me one with flames.
Well, flames, that's your job. You got to do that yourself. Yeah. You got to get the bike and do the sugar bear front end.
And so I hope, you know, like, I think there's, in doing all this, too, part of it is an experiment in, like, what can you get out there, right? And there's this feeling that, like, you know, even Harley, like, they've announced their $6,000 starter motorcycle that they're going to roll out with. And I've seen a lot of mixed reviews. I've seen a lot of people kind of panning the idea before it's even come to fruition. And I'm going, you know, I think the starter Harley is an old Harley.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
There's not a model that you need. I mean, and it partly, I feel like the Sportster, which makes a lot of sense as a starter Harley, had been kind of like it when, because they stopped making that, then there's a diminishing supply of these good starter Harleys that are available for cheap, because you could get a Sportster for $2,000 or $3,000 or $4,000,
right?
And probably a decent one, right? And so I kind of feel like, you know, what I'm doing in finding these Facebook marketplace finds, buying them sight unseen, and just kind of playing with them, and I'll be, you know, I'll be on my channels and Tobacco Motorwear Co. on Instagram and Tobacco MC on YouTube, and you'll see these bikes and me going through them, and my sentiment is kind of, and it doesn't have to be a Harley, but just buy a used bike. Start off with a used bike, and especially with people's finances being what they are. Obviously, I'm a devotee to motorcycles. I think you should have a motorcycle. People should get into it. It should be a growing thing, not a shrinking thing. But I think part of it is people worry about, well, it's expensive to get into. And I kind of want to say, hey, you can get a really cool bike without spending, you know, $25,000 or even $15,000 or whatever the entry level Harley is going
to
be.
Yeah. I think right now what we need to do for Dave, I think we all need to go on this campaign to continuously send Dave listings for Dinos.
Yeah.
Because we all know, and you might as well just admit it right now, Dave, to yourself and to everyone, that your next bike is going to be a Dyna.
I mean, very well could be.
You know.
Let me ask you guys this. Can I be a Dyna bro with a flamed out Dyna?
You certainly would be. I
don't think I could be.
Why?
I think you got to have a black dyno. It's got to be black.
A black dyno.
You break the mold.
Well, a black dyno with flames. What's wrong with that?
Hey, there you go.
You're Dave Ackerman. You could do whatever you want.
You could do whatever you want, man.
I do think it's kind of like I wasn't Dave Ackerman until I bought four Springers. Now I'm Dave Ackerman.
Now you certainly are. So
I'm ascending.
Oh my gosh. So I got
he gets a dyno. He's gonna be going through a Dave Vorce.
Well, see, Dave explained to me. He explained to me. I says, you know, he's looking at all these bikes. I said, where are you keeping these things, right? And he says, certainly the wife must know. And he says, well, I have a warehouse that she never goes to.
All right. So, have you guys toured the warehouse?
No. Of course, we've never been there.
In no condition. We've never done this before. It's in no condition to show off, but because, you know. And there's no video, so for your audio listeners, I'll do my best to narrate. So you come in the door, and we have this kind of showroom. You've probably seen me, maybe you've seen me do videos here.
Yeah.
The checkerboard wall.
Right.
Cool.
And the dog tags of all of our original customers from our first two Kickstarters. They have their own dog tag, and we have their name on our wall.
Oh, wow, that's neat.
That's cool.
You got our Torque helmet wall,
mm-hmm.
right? Supporter of Torque helmets, and then my messy workstation over here, and then go into here. We got Dave's RV in one side, and then
Dave's RV. I forgot about Dave's RV.
Yeah, that's where I fell from. Right there, I had my foot in that window. So for the listening public, I was on the roof of my RV and getting off of it onto a 6-foot ladder. So I had to step down, and I had my foot in the upper above cab window, and then when I hit the ladder, it twisted and turned, and I wound up breaking my hip.
Christ!
So no good. So
Jesus.
Here are the Road King and the Sporty over here, and we got like the bathrooms and the editing bay over there, and then there's the.
Ah, there she is.
There it is.
Wow.
Do you give your bikes names?
Yes.
You do?
I do.
Okay.
The crossbones is, most crossbones were black. Mine is dark blue pearl. And so I call it the blue boner.
Yes. All right. Perfect. Yeah.
So yeah, I have certain names. Then we have these backdrops, right? And so for shooting different stuff. And then over here, I've got these backdrops for the listening public that are like basically pallet wood that we've painted, and you know, for the fashion side of things, they make nice shooting.
What's
this
that?
Is our original show bike, which is a Yamaha. Thumper. It's a Yamaha XT 600, 600 XT. And so it's kind of a setup like that. And it's kind of our show bike. And then these are the stacks. So we go up. It's all when you get
inventory.
This is where it starts.
This is where it all happens.
Yeah. And then we have like a little like photo backdrop here too. Uh-huh. So it's just, I mean, it's just a working area, but you can see how much room I have. I have tons of room.
You have lots of room for more motorcycles.
Lots of room for motorcycles. And I just anticipate that day. I got motorcycle parts up on the shelf. I just anticipate that day when my wife comes over and she goes, wait, what are all these motorcycles? And I'm like, I told you about that.
The customer bike.
We talked about it, and you were going on your trip, and so we talked about it. Like, yeah, I guess.
And so you better start fabricating those stories before when those other bikes show up.
Yeah, I may not be a bike fabricator, but
you're a bike collector.
Build the narrative.
So I have a couple things there. The articles, and I dug these up in your honor, Dave. And it's this first article, and this comes from the Harley Davidson forums, and this one's the 8 best Harley Davidson motorcycles ever. So we'll see how that plays out. We're gonna review that right now.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Yeah, sure. Hey, get this. There we go.
The 8 best Harleys ever.
However, so that first one, and you had this is one you expressed interest in. You like the Harley Davidson Lowrider, 2020 to present.
Yep.
All right, there's that one, and the Harley Davidson Street Glide. They say 2017 to 2023. I don't understand how that works. I thought the Street Glide was around longer than that.
I think
that's the best version of it.
Right.
They're saying that generation, yeah.
Yeah. The Milwaukee 8 version, okay? Road King, 2007 to 2013 refinement years. What do they mean by the refinement years? Twin Can 96 models, okay.
Yeah. So it's probably that the Road Kings from the Twin Cam era, and probably the early Twin Cams were not as good.
The 88s. Yeah.
After 2007, they cleaned up the problems. We probably won't have a early Twin Cam in this list because these problems. Yeah.
What year is yours?
Mine?
Mine is the early one. I think it got the service done. They had a tensioner problem where it's a plastic tensioner shoe.
We all know about that.
I was going to say, tell Ted.
We all know about that.
Have you heard of such a thing?
Yeah, vaguely. It vaguely passes my mind. I've heard about it. You know, it may have happened. I don't know. It may, you know, who knows? You know, things like that. But, you know, what's interesting, though. Harley no longer makes this Road King anymore. The only one they provide now is the Road King Special.
Yeah.
It's interesting. Look at that. The Harley Davidson Dyna Super Glide. Dave.
Of course.
Of course. Yep. That's Dave's next bike right there.
That one actually is the Twin Cam. So I was wrong.
That's a 2003 model.
Yeah, Super Glide.
Yeah, sir. Okay.
The next one. Who knows?
It's your next one. You don't know.
Flames on there.
And the Evolution engine. See, now I don't see this best motorcycle. This is the most engine. I mean, I'll agree with this. The Evo engine was like the greatest engine ever. Up
all Evos from 84 to 99 and like anything from that era. Yeah,
you can't kill an Evo. There's just no way. They're just great engines. And they got the Harley Davidson Shovelhead from 78 to 84, the late Shovelhead years. Do you agree? Anybody agree with that?
That was not the AMA year?
AMF years.
Yeah.
AMF.
Yeah, it looks like it wants to be a Road King.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. It looks clunky, though, doesn't it?
Yeah, I don't know. I know shovels have become a lot more collectible as the supply of panheads and knuckles run out. But I don't know if that's because it's old or because it's good.
It could be both, actually.
Yeah. Well, the knucklehead. The thing is that, like, at one, you know, part of the reason that bikes, it's weird. So, like, in the beginning, it was like when the panheads came out and you could get a knucklehead for next to nothing because it was, at that point, it was like an old motorcycle.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And then all of a sudden, it's like, then all of a sudden they became popular and they become expensive. So then, like, the shovel heads out, so you can get a pan head for, you know, same thing. You know, next to nothing. And so this is like what ends up happening. You know what I mean? So it's like, then you could get shovel heads, and then as these guys take these bikes and build cool shit with them, people just look at it like, well, that's what they used, so that's what I should get, versus it's like, well, he used that because he could get it for $500. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, he didn't go out and spend fucking $10,000 on that motor because there was something special about that motor. You know what I mean?
Well, and you see groups of guys, cool-looking dudes like Jason Momoa and other people riding around on these bikes, and you go, they've been meticulously rebuilt in most cases.
Right.
Or these guys are just like, I'm 100% okay with breaking down in the middle of New Mexico and just having to try to fix this thing, and it's all part of the adventure. So, like, which I get. Like, I mean, there is probably kind of like a return to, you know, the DIY, you know, I know how to work on this bike, and that gives me a right to ride that you have to earn, you know?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yep. Anyway, got the knucklehead up here, 36 to 47. I mean, Knuckles are badass. Yeah. I like Knuckles. Everybody loves Knuckles. But you're not gonna find Knuckle with, you know, that's affordable, you know, for not at all. But
and you can see on that bike, if you go back real quick, you can see the lines that, like, because that was the Springer front end, and you can see like the crossbones borrowed that tractor seat, the pogo seat, and kind of some of those elements, which, you know, for me is like part of the attraction to that bike.
Yeah, unfortunately, you're not going to get that in your Dyna.
Be a different one.
Yeah. And then this other article, which I found very interesting, was the 10 Harley Davidsons that hold their value best. And this one I thought was great because there just might be one of your motorcycles in here, Dave.
Really? All right, maybe. Let's see. Let's go.
We got the Street Glide Special. They say this holds its value very well, because it's a Milwaukee 8. Then they're saying the Rogue King also holds its value very well. And moving on, we have the Fat Boy.
Come on, baby.
especially pre-2008. How about
that? So that one holds its value, I think, better than any of them, is what I heard, is that Fat Boys just keep their value. You can buy them and...
Yeah, well, Chris, yours is a 2002, correct?
Yes. I'm always going through Craigslist and Marketplace and looking at, and Fat Boys do retain a very high price.
Wow. Yeah. I wonder, what do you think? Do you think that whole Arnold Schwarzenegger Terminator thing has something to do with it? Yeah.
1990, when that came out, and he was riding a Fat Boy, that was the first year it came out, and everybody lost their shit over that bike.
And do you think that plays a large part with its value retention?
Well, I think people just like the bike.
Yeah.
Well, I think in a non-direct way. I think because of that, when it came out and the Terminator connection, and then the name sticks in everyone's head.
Yeah, yeah.
It's just the most well-known name of a motorcycle. It's not confused with all the different glides.
Right,
it's the Fat Boy. And so when you ask anybody, even if they're not a bike guy, can you name a model of a Harley, they'll go, Fat Boy. And
yeah,
so,
yeah, true.
And I think then because of that, maybe as people go out looking for one, like my older brother, before I ever owned a motorcycle, I remember him. He lived in North Carolina for a while, and he came back and he was like, I want a Harley. I want a Fat Boy. That's what I want.
Really?
And I just always stuck with me that it was like, oh, Fat Boy, that must be cool. You know? And so I think it's good branding, I think. It's just you're always gonna remember it.
It's a great branding until you get into a conversation with somebody and then you say, I like Fat Boys. It just doesn't quite come across as cool as it should.
Choose your words wisely. Yeah.
I gotta say, I like Fat Boy motorcycles.
I gotta.
No, you might want to even then is suspect. You might want to say my favorite motorcycle is a Fat Boy. No, that doesn't even sound right. That is, it doesn't either. No,
and that sounds better.
I got a warehouse full of Fat Boys. I like to ride.
That could be better. Let's moving on. The Harley Davidson Electric Glide Classic.
There we go. Yeah, the Ultra Classic. Yeah.
Yeah. I one time I actually wanted one of these.
That's a big bike, man.
It's a big bike. I wanted one of these. Tim, yours was an Electric Glide Classic, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was.
Yeah. The big red.
Big red.
That's an 1,100 pound bike.
No shit. My knees will attest to that.
Tim is probably
might be able to pick him up for $5,000 on Marketplace right now.
Yeah, they're cheap.
And Tim is, I think, the only guy in the whole.
Yeah.
Oh, geez.
Yeah.
I think Tim is the only guy in the world that probably almost came close to rolling this bike over.
Oh.
You know what's crazy too? People will go out and spend, you know, fucking $13,000, $15,000 on like an older Street Glide when you can spend $8,000 on a newer Ultra Classic and take the fucking tour pack off. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's like it's the same shit.
Yeah. And then if you really don't want it, you can sell the tour pack for $500.
Yeah.
That's right.
Harley Davidson Lowrider S. There's the other one that Dave had mentioned that was something in your wheelhouse. Yeah. Retains its value. I mean, this is a relatively new bike, yet they're saying it's going to retain its value.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know what? I could say I've seen a decent amount of those on the road.
And, you know,
probably new riders bought that.
I've ridden this, and I didn't care for it.
Bike, that would be a good starter bike.
That's basically what, I mean, you have the Nightster and you have the new Sportster S. But I feel like the Lowrider S and the Lowrider ST are what the Dyna Bros are buying now because, you know, they aren't making new Dynas. And it's just that really nice size. Like middle weight, and and it just when you think of a motorcycle, even if you have a road glide or a street glide, or even if that's what you wind up wanting, when you think of motorcycle, you think of something more akin to that, or more akin to, you know, the Softail stripped down, just wheels, engine, gas tank.
Yeah, exactly. And you're probably right. The Harley FXR, early 80s, early 90s. Look at that. I mean, they say it retains its value, so I can't argue with that.
Well, that's basically what the Lowrider S is modeled after, for argument's sake.
Yeah.
Yep. And these bikes, these are the ones that you see going for $10,000 now.
Yeah.
Wow. Like a clean low miles, because I've looked at those and it's tough to find an FXR that's, you know, not hovering around 10 or higher.
So you won't be shopping for any of those,
right? Which is crazy, because, like, when you think about it, right, like you were talking about this earlier about, you could go out and buy an older bike that has the Springer, or if you want kind of that same aesthetic, but with, like, the reliability of push-button start, 6-speed transmission, you know, like some of the creature comforts of some of these new bikes. I mean, with what they're doing now with the aesthetics of these bikes, as far as kind of harking back to the bikes that, you know, people like
this era,
like something like this, right? Like, I mean, if you're going to spend the money, you can basically give or take maybe a grand or two.
Yeah,
you can get a Lowrider S for the same price that you'd spend for an FXR, and I mean, performance-wise, the Lowrider S is going to have everything that you want it to have: push-button start, 6-speed trans. You know what I'm saying? It's going to have brakes that actually work. You know what I mean? It's like, you know, I mean, it's going to have. I mean, sure, it's not an FXR, but
yeah, that's the only thing it's missing, really.
Wow. So move on to the next one. We got the Wide Glide. See, look, all this Dyna Bro stuff keeps popping up, Dave.
Dynas, I mean, like I said, I think one of the things that kind of threw me into the arms of a Springer Softail was like, you look at a 2003 Wide Glide and somebody's asking $7,000 for it, and you're going like, really, you know? But there is the sense of demand for the Dyna and that stripped down look.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, you know what's funny? Because originally when we were talking, it was all soft tails. But actually, in the beginning, you were talking about being a Dyna Boy, and that was your thing. And then I had mentioned to you that Dynas were basically just bigger Sportsters.
Yeah.
And then you moved into the soft tail range.
You just lost a bunch of followers right now.
I mean, I've ridden a few Dynas, and it just, you know, it didn't really do anything for me. But hey, the Pan America, I'm they surprisingly strong resale, but except if it's a 21, 22, or early 23, first 3 years of the Pan America were not good years for the bike. They had issues.
Yeah,
but they're much better now. And then finally, the CVO Street Glide. Holds its resale value. I guess it would.
You know? Yeah, no surprise there. Yeah.
I mean, and the Harley-Davidson Sportster 48. Have you ever ridden one of these, Dave?
No.
Oh, no. 48 is such a cool ass bike, man.
Is the ride like significantly different? I mean, it's got the
it's stiff.
Yeah, yeah.
It's a stiff ride, but. It's just a cool ass bike.
It's a little banger, man. It's like you can just rip in with that.
You know, it's got I believe it's a 1.3 gallon gas tank.
Yeah, just a little peanut.
It's a little peanut. You're not going far with it, but I've had the opportunity to ride one of these, and you want to talk about low, man. This bike sits super low. It's just got this really, really cool feel to it. It's stiff. Chill ride, man. It's a great bike. That's a great bike, though. And these are pulling in good money too.
I don't know if I know the difference between like the 48 and the Iron 883.
Well, this way.
The 48 was a 1200.
Yeah.
Oh, it was a 1200.
It was a 1200.
That's enough of the difference right there.
It had a wider front tire.
Mm-hmm.
The Iron 883 was basically your traditional Sportster aesthetically just blacked out.
Yep.
Right.
Whereas the 48 was designed to be like when guys started bobbing bikes.
Yeah.
Back like around like wartime and well after war, but like they were taking the wartime bikes and bobbing them. That was designed to kind of be like a throwback to that. So that's why, like, if you look both the front and the rear fenders, it kind of has that bobbed fender, but it has the fatter tires because originally that was something that was done on those larger bikes, but they wanted to kind of take that style and do something with it on a Sportster.
I mean, it's interesting how these style kind of this design language just keeps coming back. Not to bring up the crossbones again, but it's got the fat front tire and clearly inspired by that same post-war era.
Well, it was the same thing. So that's that bobber.
Just on a bigger,
just
on a bigger frame.
Exactly. Well, the crossbones is more traditionally sized or comparable to what guys were doing with those bikes. So they would basically they had the WLAs, which were the bikes that they used in the military, and then basically when these guys came back, there was like a surplus of those bikes. You could get them for like next to nothing. So guys were basically taking them and bobbing them down, and they would end up looking like the way that your crossbones looks.
Yeah.
And so the crossbones is a modern version of what guys were taking those bikes and customizing them to be.
Is this another example of like another way they might even bob it down farther and just put on a smaller tank and like take it to the next level?
Yeah, this is like the Sportster version of like what a bobber would be for, the same kind of concept. I mean, it got to the point where guys were basically anything that wasn't absolutely necessary, they were bobbing down.
Yeah.
Not only from a style perspective, a weight perspective, the whole nine.
Yeah.
But if you wanted a, if you're looking for, I'll tell you what, a cool bike like that, like I said, the 48 is just it. And correct me if I'm wrong, Justin, but the Iron 883 at one point was Harley Davidson's best selling motorcycle.
I mean, it was not only was it really cool looking, but it was at one point it was the cheapest bike that they sold. I mean, it was under. It was under $9,000 brand new.
Yep.
Yeah.
And I mean, you know, it had everything that you were doing to, like, you figure if you bought a Sportster before they started blacking them out, and then you spent all that money blacking it out, you know what I mean? Yeah. It's like, I mean, I remember I had a 2000 Sportster, and, you know, you're putting bars, you're blacking everything out that you can black out. It's like you spend all this money doing that, and then here it is brand new.
Yeah.
Oops.
You know, you threw exhaust on it, and you could literally ride away with it, leave it the way it is.
So, I think this. I mean, maybe. So I got into riding pre 2008. You know, the financial crash then.
Yeah.
But the Cafe Racer kind of like there was when I started the company in 2014. I would say we were riding this wave of people buying cheap bikes, Japanese bikes, old Honda CB750s, you know, different platforms. Old Sportsters certainly were a good chunk of that, and turn them into cafes or bobbers. And it was sort of like a thing you could get into, and it didn't cost very much to just start taking stuff off of the bikes. Right. And I do kind of, maybe it's wishful thinking, I think that is where we've had, like, over the last few years, everything's got bags, everything's a full dresser, it's got a fairing on it. I kind of think we're due for the next generation of kind of the chopper bobber trend that comes from, hey, I'm not going to be able to get the new cool bike. So, you know, and that's kind of obviously part of what this project of me getting these older bikes is doing is an example of you can get a cool old bike and maybe you can do something to it to make it your own. But I think that will has to happen again. As we see gas prices rise, more people will want to ride. It's a good financial investment. The amount of cool factor you get from a motorcycle for per dollar, you can't touch it with a car.
No,
right?
Absolutely not.
And yeah. So I'm hopeful that we'll see a new wave of guys finding this, whether they're in their, you know, 20s or early 30s, and going like, dude, like, there are all these bikes out there and I can just take this stuff off, and you know, eventually it'll circle back and people will put it back on. I don't know if the bagger trend, I'm not saying baggers are going anywhere. I don't think they are, with the success of the bagger race series and everything like that. But I do think, like, the idea that you need to start with a big bike, or that a big bike is right for everybody, I don't think that holds.
Right.
I think the way that you, I mean, before this whole story that you, you know, told us today, you know, like having the touring bike and the Sportster, I mean, as somebody who owns a touring bike and a Sportster, I feel like that's like something that really works for me, because not that you can't take a touring bike around locally, because you can, but, you know, at the same time, you know, if you want to, there's certain times that having that touring bike makes a ride or a trip so much more comfortable and enjoyable. And then there's other times that you want that Sportster to just rip around on and run around and just toss around and have fun, you know what I mean? So sometimes people will find and kind of split the difference and get one bike that's somewhere in the middle. Yeah. A lot of people do that by either getting a Dyna or a Softail, depending on, you know, which way they're leaning more towards. The Dyna leans a little bit more towards the Sportster. The Softail leans a little bit more towards the Touring. Or you say, fuck it, and you get a Road King Sportster. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I think, you know, personally, I'd rather have, you know, the two bikes rather than having one. But, you know, that's me.
Well, and really, like, the idea that it's so out of reach, you know, I certainly get that as much as Harleys can hold their value, like, if I was in my 20s or early 30s starting a family, or even now, I mean, there's a reason why I opt to, you know, one of the videos I'll probably wind up making is for the price of one Harley, I got five.
But that's great.
Yeah.
And just go, you know, well, I'm certainly not advocating that course of action for everybody, but there's something to be said for, you could have a tourer, you could have a heavy bagger, you could have a light bagger, you could have a strip down, you could have a, you know, a long fork kind of raked out chopper, and you could have a dirt bike, and you could have, you know, for the price of maybe one brand new Harley Davidson or big bike of any brand.
You know, Dave, you might be the leading edge of this new wave that you're talking about, where people just start buying any kind of bike, smaller bike like this, like the Dynos or the Springers or whatever, and making that their starter bike. You may be the leading edge of this.
There you go.
Yeah. I think we've talked enough that you know that that's something I'd like to see happen.
Yeah.
Because I think there's a lot of people who would benefit from riding, a lot of young men who would benefit from getting on a bike. And I think the whole Sportster is a girl bike is
bullshit.
I never played out.
Oh my god.
But it's just not true.
No, like, absolutely, I mean, not.
Especially, I mean, I know a lot of people that really enjoy their sporty, and maybe I'm going to lose a bunch of followers now. But, like, I had my brand new, my Crossbones that I'm so enthusiastic about, and I see my sporty sitting there, and I'm like, come here, you know?
And I'm gonna give you some love.
Yeah, I go out on a ride on it, and I'm just like, shut the F up, dude. This is the funnest bike.
Yeah.
This bike is so fun. The sound is so good. You know, and mine's a 1200, and I haven't spent a lot of time on the smaller displacement bike. But I just feel like anybody, the starter bike should be, you can get into a bike. My first bike, I think we talked about it on the first time I was on the podcast. My first bike cost $50, and then I put $300 into fixing it up, and even adjusted for inflation, that was a stupid cheap bike.
Yeah.
And I bought it not running, and I had somebody clean the carbs, which was the $300 I put into it. It was a Honda GL500. I had a great time on that bike, and I don't think that you have to start with a Harley. I think Harley should. And I think maybe this ride campaign that you see Harley doing might be, I mean, they're always going to push Harley more than anything. But I've joked with some friends that the best entry level Harley is a Royal Enfield.
Really? Well,
because Royal Enfields are heritage bikes that are vintage inspired, that are inspired by the same time frame. I'll even say that there are Royal Enfields that take style cues from every Harley, you know, era that you could ever look at. And inevitably, if somebody starts on a $4,000, $5,000 Royal Enfield, they're inevitably going to want to size up. And I think I have no evidence of this except just that my own affinity for them. They're good looking bikes. They have a similar romance. I think the Triumph Bonneville sort of thing too.
Yeah.
I think you know, and I think a lot of people, and I'm saying this not as this needs to be your preference. This is pure observation. I think a lot of people will wind up on Harley Davidsons, especially if the Harley Davidson crowd can get it out of its own way and not make people feel stupid. And who, I didn't start on a Harley. I don't know that many people who didn't start on a dirt bike or didn't start on something Japanese before they found their way to Harley.
What you mentioned about like the Harley Davidson crowd, like make people feel stupid, do you think that's as prevalent as it was? Because like to me, I feel like that definitely was something that existed years back, but experience, I feel like that's very that's kind of in the rear view for the most part. And I mean, that's just my own experience. I'm just curious, is like, I mean, you know, maybe you see it, or maybe you're like, you know what, maybe it is in the past. But I do, you know, I'm just curious as your take.
Well, I think for the most part that is, but I think there still are elements of that still exist. And you guys remember very vividly my experience with the Hooters girl on the parkway.
No, tell us again.
Oh, you know.
Don't get started on that.
So, well, Dave doesn't know the story. So, I was on my way home from work. I was on my way home from work one time. My business back in Jersey, and I'm on my Heritage cruising down the Garden State Parkway, and coming to a section where the express lanes and the regular lanes come together, and there's like this little small median in the middle. But I get to this point, and I see a bike stop there, and there's the rider next to it and another dude on the ground looking at the bike. And I figure, well, let me do the right biker thing and pull over and see if I can help. So I pull up, and there's this girl. You know, she's standing there next to her bike, and there's this old guy bending down. I pull up. He lifts his head up, and she's riding a sport bike. I believe it was a Suzuki. I pull up. He lifts his head up over the seat. He looks. He goes, "You're riding a Harley. You're not going to be any good to me." So, but the continuation of the story was because me and this other guy who showed up, we fixed her bike, and old cranky dude drove off. But the girl worked at Hooters. And she said, I'll give you free lunch because you fixed my bike. So the ongoing tease that I get from my fellows here is about Hooters.
Well, it's funny because I've wanted to, and I'll probably roll out with some version of this video. And, you know, here I sit with a hat with a skull on it. And like, I see hats and I see T-shirts in the motorcycle community with profanity or like flipping.
Right.
And that's who bikers are, but bikers are also the person who stops and helps you fix your car, helps you change your tire, opens the door for a woman that's walking into a building. There's a traditionalism that I've noticed and a kindness that I've noticed with bikers, because if you've been broken down on the side of the road, you know, I've raced dangerously fast behind a truck that stuff is falling out or about to fall out of its bed. Mm-hmm. And I go, if any of this shit falls, I could be toast. But I got to catch this guy and let him know he's about to lose his whole load of camping gear. And and you do that because it's like, I think when you're on a bike, you're just so much more aware. You're so connected.
Yes. Exactly.
And you're thinking like, well, how would I like to be treated? I think there's a lot of that in biking. And I think some of the flipping off and some of the grumpiness and tattoos and things, it's part of the culture. And I think it's part of the individualism that also, I saw a video recently that said like, if you ride a motorcycle, you probably rate high on this trait of individualism, that you want to go your own way. And it's on, you know, a spectrum of personality traits. Yep. And I think, you know, and there are people all over that spectrum, and there are probably people in our community who want to go where everybody else is going too.
Yeah.
But I do think that mainly that Harley guy, look, nobody's community is as strong as the Harley community.
Oh, no.
Sturgis based around, like, I went to a festival in Chicago that was the main bike sponsor was Royal Enfield, and it's a fun little festival. It wasn't Sturgis. It wasn't huge, you know. And I think as much as we can, I think we just got to be inviting. I think the old Honda campaign is actually true. Is, like, in my experience, you meet the nicest people on motorcycles.
Exactly.
And not just Hondas, but on motorcycles. And I'll lie if I don't say, when I get on these Evo Springers, and it's like, go down. I feel badass. I totally do. And I kind of, when I pull up to the gas station, I kind of want people to leave me the fuck alone, you know, just like inclination. But I also think there has to be, like, a lot of inviting to be in the community and participate in the community. And then all these nuances kind of come out, and people go, oh, these people kind of, they're not mean per se. They're not scary. Yeah. They need a shower.
Hey, I want to do business real quick. All right. Yeah. I'm do business. Just there. You can, don't go away. If you want to support the podcast, get over to buy us some coffee, or you can buy us a pizza, either way. And that helps us the podcast out a little bit. Get on our mailing list. And if you want a sticker, new Motorcycle Men sticker, or our brand new South Sandwich Islands Moto Club sticker, I'll just let me know, and I will definitely send one of those off to you.
Gonna go riding here one day.
Yeah. Buy my book. My book, The Road Most Traveled, is available on the Motorcycle Men website now for a little $8 cheaper than you would get it on Amazon. So you can get it there. And, of course, the audiobook is available. Don't forget to get on over and check out the videos on the Ride with Ted YouTube channel. They're moving along. I've got a couple new ones coming out. And Scorpion Helmets. Let me get into the business music, the Bindit music. Here we go. There we go. That's our Bindit music. Scorpion Helmets, offering high-quality, innovative motorcycle helmets and technical apparel at an incredible value. To learn more, get on over to ScorpionUSA.com. And we got Wild Ass Seats to improve your comfort and ability to stay in the saddle longer. You get a cushion from Wild Ass Seats. So if you're tired of those painful pressure points and fatigue, get on over to wild-ass.com, and you tell the real Craig Johnson that your ass hurts, and he'll get you a cushion. And of course, Viking Bags, world leader in motorcycle luggage and one of the fastest growing companies in motorcycle parts. Luggage for whatever you need, wherever you go, and whatever you ride. That's Viking Bags. And of course, as always, Tobacco Motorwear, for the best in casual riding gear for men and women. There's only one place you should be going, and that is Dave's Pants over at Tobacco Motorwear. Visit them at tobaccomotorwear.com. That's tobaccomotorwear.com. And our listeners will get 10% off when you use the code MOTOMEN. Your safety is worth it, so get over to Tobacco Motorwear and get in Dave's Pants.
Yes. I like it.
Now, listen, I got to give credit where credit is due. Tim came up with that several years ago when we were doing this, and he said, yeah, we're getting Dave's Pants. And so we think, Dave, you should launch a new ad campaign that simply says, get in our pants.
Yeah, yeah. I tried to do one last year that was always wear protection, and I had a girl, like, putting a condom on a banana and drawing the analogy that you protect your head and your body, and you need to protect your legs. And it didn't go over so well. It wasn't as shareable as I thought. I thought it was just going to be funny, but I think
I like
some
it.
People were not, you know, maybe they had a different health teacher than I had.
I'm telling you, you got to do the get in Dave's pants thing. You got to write something right, around right. that. Do the get in Dave's pants.
All right, I'll give that a whirl. Thanks.
It'll work. I promise you, it'll work.
No, I love hearing it. It's funny for sure, and I love listening to the podcast and hearing my little plugs you guys come up with.
Well, listen, that's all I got for now. Is there anything you want to add, Dave, before we kick off?
Man, not really. If you want to check out Tobacco Motorwear, tobaccomotorwear.com, that's the place to go, like you said. If you want to follow us on socials, Tobacco Motorwear Co. on Instagram, Tobacco Motorwear MC is where you'll shortly be able to see my escapades with all my Springers, my harem of Springers.
Harem of Springers. There's something there.
That's what they call a group. Like, yeah. There's a flock of seagulls. Yeah, like, you know, a harem of Springers.
Yeah, there's something. There's a story behind this. We have to work something in there, make a story out of it. That has to be free. So that's pretty much it. Again, I'm Ted, your host here in the Motorcycle Men Podcast. And we got Tim Buck 2 here with us. And Chris.
Yes.
And of course, Justin Brown.
Shut the fuck up.
I gotta get Dave his sound. There it is right there. So
nobody hears it but you.
Oh, you guys didn't hear the sound? I see it's no. I got all
every
the sound
week,
effects.
Dude, every was week.
Every week, I know. I got the sound effects going here. You know, the audience can hear it, but not you guys, and that's okay.
You
gotta
have a
Oh, I gotta get one. I don't have that.
Yeah, for
sound,
the blue boner.
Hello, blue fire.
Yeah. But that's it. So yeah, Tim, how do you want to sign off?
Ride like nobody sees.
This
you.
Is the fun part. Chris?
Ride like Dave doesn't see you.
Justin?
Ride like when you get ready to sell your bike, Dave's going to buy it.
Hey, Dave, you want to sign off with something?
Oh, man, on the spot. Ride.
Okay, that's it, boys and girls. Thanks for joining us. And remember, kids, we say stupid crap so you don't have to.
Yeah.
Here we go.
Who is your daddy, pie? What does he do?
In your face, sucker!
She bought her about some butter, but she said this butter's bitter. If I put it in my batter, it will make my batter bitter. So she went and bought a bit of better butter, put it in her bitter batter, made her bitter batter better. So just better. Betty bought a bit of better butter.